dwelling in God's presence.
Knowing God after the flesh is actually a hindrance to knowing who He really is. Did you know that when Jesus walked on this earth, He was sinless? He was the Son of God, but He had a human body. It was a sinless human body, but it was human. He got tired. He sweat. Jesus smelled. Jesus had to take a bath. Jesus had to go to the bathroom. I'm sure Jesus, you know, He didn't stay in a Holiday Inn every night. His hair wasn't always perfect. I'm sure His hair got dirty and matted at times. I'm sure that, you know, He didn't have a change of clothes. He didn't send things out to the laundry. And I'm sure that His clothes were dirty. When you looked at Jesus, it took faith to believe that this was God because He was so human. Most people have never thought about this, and we think, oh, I wished I could have been one of those disciples. It would have been hard to believe Jesus was God because you watched Him and you could smell Him. And He got tired and He had to go to sleep. The Bible says that God says, I am the Lord, I slumber not. And yet you see a man who is God, and yet He's sleepy, and He's tired, and He smells, and He's hungry, and you have to do things for Him. It would have been hard to be one of Jesus' disciples and look past that flesh and see who He really was. And yet when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, the 17th chapter of Matthew, you know what He did? When He got into His Father's presence, He just, in a sense, this body was like a curtain that kept people from seeing the true glory of God. All of the stuff that Barry was saying this morning about the Ark of the Covenant and that power, and you know that word picture about the Raiders of the Lost Ark and how powerful this Ark was and killed all of these people and stuff. All of that was inside of Jesus. All of the glory of God, but it was wrapped in human flesh, like it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that we have this treasure in earthen vessel. Jesus had an earthen vessel. He had, and that earthen vessel blocked who He really was. It was hard for people to recognize who He was because He was so human. But when He got on the Mount of Transfiguration and got into the presence of His Father, it's like He just pulled this curtain back. And all of a sudden, light radiated from Him. It didn't reflect off of Him as it did with Moses when Moses was in the presence of the Lord, and it says His face shone and reflected it. Jesus radiated. It came out of Him. All of the glory of God. He was God manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy chapter 3, 16, that great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. The only time God was manifest in the flesh was with Jesus. Jesus was God, but it just hindered people from seeing it. But on the Mount of Transfiguration, the glory of God shone out. Did you know that at the Last Supper, John put his head over on Jesus' chest and leaned on his chest, which there was nothing wrong with that. Man, Jesus loved John. John loved Jesus. And they had a great relationship. But he had this intimacy with God because he wasn't intimidated, because Jesus was in this physical body. But did you know in the first chapter of the book of Revelation, John saw Jesus again. But this time he was in His glory. And His hair was white as snow. His eyes were like flames of fire. His feet were like brass that was in a furnace. They were burning and radiating. And when John saw Jesus in Revelation chapter 1, he fell at His feet as if He was dead. Did you know that that was the same Jesus that he laid His head on His chest at the Last Supper? Jesus hadn't changed except in this physical body. He now had a glorified body, but He was just as glorious. He was just as powerful, but it was contained in this earthen vessel. And anyway, this is what Paul is talking about, that we knew Jesus one time after the flesh, but now we don't know Him that way anymore. We know Him by the Spirit. You have to perceive Jesus spirit to spirit, not in some physical, fleshly way. And the reason I'm bringing all of this out is to say that this is why most people do not live and dwell, abide in the presence of God because, to put it very bluntly, we're carnal. The word carnal doesn't necessarily mean sinful. All sin is carnal. But you can be carnal without being a sinner. Carnal just means of the five senses is what it means. The literal word carne, it's where we get carne from. When we say chili con carne, the word carnal, carne, means meat. It just means meat. Like Strong says, it means flesh as stripped of skin. In other words, not your physical epidermis, but you're just the meat of your body. That's what the word carnal means. So when you call somebody carnal-minded, you're calling them a meathead. Amen. But when we're carnal, it just means that we are controlled by our five senses. We are dominated by what we see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. And the carnal mind, it says, man, I'm quoting so many scriptures. Just for time's sake, I'm going to quote this. You can find it, but it's over in Romans chapter 8. The carnal mind is not subject to God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh, the word flesh and carnal are used interchangeably often, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. It goes right along with John chapter 4, verse 24, that God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and not in the flesh. You have to worship him in spirit and in truth. And this is why so many people don't connect with God, is because they're used to a goosebump. They're used to something special. They are always looking for the spectacular, and they miss God in the everyday things. People miss Jesus because he was so human, but inside, in the spirit, he was the glory of God. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, that he is the express image of the Father, a perfect representation, identical to the Father. And Paul said, we used to know him by the flesh, but now we have to know him by the Spirit. These disciples on the road to Emmaus were talking about Jesus. They were talking about his resurrection. Jesus, the one who they longed to see, was walking with them and talking to them, and they couldn't recognize him. Not because he was in a different body, because later in this same day, after these disciples go back to Jerusalem and they're telling everybody, we saw him, he walked with us on the road to Emmaus, Jesus appeared in the midst of them. And he told Thomas, that was 8 days later, but he told that group of people right then, he says, touch me and feel, because a spirit doesn't have flesh and bone as you see me have. And so he says, touch me. He was real. It wasn't like he was in a different form. It's not like his body had changed. And 8 days later, he told Thomas, he says, stick your finger into the print of the nails. Thrust your hand into my side and be not faithless, but believing. Jesus had the same body. Why didn't they recognize him? What was going on? Look at this. It says in verse 15, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned. You know what reason is? That's when you're trying to figure it out with your brain. I can guarantee you when they heard the report of Jesus being alive from the dead, the Holy Spirit quickened that to them. I bet you there was excitement. That's the reason they were talking about it. They hadn't totally rejected it. The Lord was dealing with them, but their reasoning was getting in the way, and their reasoning blinded them to who God really was. They were operating out of their brain. They were trying to recognize him by physical sight instead of letting their heart lead them. Again, I fail with words to be able to say what I'm trying to say. But you have to know God on a heart level. It can't be in just physical, natural things. I have people all the time say, if your son was raised from the dead, why don't you just give a doctor's report, prove it, go on television, let's broadcast it to all of these television networks, and let's just make people believe. That's not how it works. With the heart, man believes. You cannot argue a person into anything. I've had people with the same logic say, if they've really been inside of Noah's Ark, there's a guy here in Woodland Park who's walked inside of Noah's Ark and has a piece of the wood and stuff. And I've held a piece of that wood, and they've tested it, and they believe that it's the actual Noah's Ark. Why don't we prove it? You can't prove anything. You can't argue a person into faith. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Romans chapter 10, verse 10. You can't argue a person, and yet most of us are trying to do things to argue people into these things. When it comes to creationism versus evolution, you know, we give a lot of physical facts. I've got a lot of teaching on that. I've had some scientists and people who are well-versed on my programs, and we give enough physical facts to show people that when people say it's a fact that evolution is true, we can show you it is not a fact. And you can prove that. But you can't argue a person into believing in creation. Matter of fact, people who believe in evolution, it's a faith deal. They don't have facts to stand on. It takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe in creation. Anyway, I'm not going to get off on that. But you can't argue people into anything. But see, they were trying to figure all this out with just their brain. And the scripture says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. You have to know God heart to heart. God is a spirit, and to really worship him, you have to connect with him spirit to spirit. Paul was saying, at one time I knew him in the flesh, but now I know him by the Spirit. These disciples hadn't yet made that transition. They had heard about Jesus, and they were trying to figure it out intellectually, and they were trying to just see with their eyes. But it says their eyes were holden that they should not know him. That's in verse 16. Their eyes were holden that they should not know him. What held their eyes? This word holden means to grasp, to seize, to hold on to. What was it that kept their eyes from seeing? Keep your finger here because I'm going to come back, but look in Mark chapter 16. This is the same instance reported, but the whole instance is recorded in one verse. And so in Mark chapter 16 and in verse 12, it says, after that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. That's the exact same thing that we were reading out of Luke, but it's put in different words. Here it says that Jesus appeared in another form. What does that mean, another form? He was still human, so it wasn't some other kind of form other than human. And like I said, he later said, put your finger into the print of the nails. His body was still the same. He still had the marks of crucifixion. It wasn't that it didn't look the same and it wasn't recognizable. The thing that was different was, it says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, it says that the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God because they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Spiritual things have to be discerned by your spirit, not your brain. Not physical proof. And God is a spirit. You have to worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus at one time had a physical body, and they knew him after the flesh. They knew him in the natural. They didn't know who he really was. They just knew his earthen vessel. But they related it. But now, after he was resurrected from the dead, he didn't have a physical body. He had a glorified body. It was still tangible. He says you could touch it. He says you could put your finger into it. It still looked the same, but it was spiritual. And I don't even know exactly what I'm saying right here. I don't understand that completely. But you could still recognize it because they saw him, and you could put your finger into the print of the nails. It was still the same, but yet it wasn't the same. It was no longer limited. This same day, they went back and they told the other apostles, and the doors were locked and all the windows were locked for fear of the Jews. And Jesus just showed up in the middle. His glorified body can go through things. Right here in this instance, when they finally recognized him, he just disappeared. He can appear and disappear. He could zip from place to place. It was still a body that you could touch. It was tangible. It wasn't just spirit, because he even said a spirit doesn't have flesh and bone as I have. It was tangible, but it wasn't physical, whatever that means. It wasn't limited. the way that our physical bodies were, and because of it, you had to spiritually discern him. And they couldn't spiritually discern Jesus. They were just looking for him in the physical. And the reason this is so powerful to me, the Lord spoke this to me, I don't know, 30-something years ago, and this has been one of my favorite things that God ever showed me. And the Lord showed me that he's with me just as real as if he was standing here in his physical body. Matter of fact, his spiritual, his glorified body is more real than a physical, tangible body. The spirit realm existed before this physical world existed. Spiritual realm is the parent force. The parent is greater than what it created. You can't create something greater than you. God created us and he is spirit. And the spirit realm is more real than this physical realm. And God lives in the spiritual realm, and we, when we were born again, it goes on to say in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that we became a new creature. Old things passed away, all things became new. That isn't talking about your physical body. Your physical body is still the same body. If you were a man, you're still a man. If you're a woman, you're still a woman. If you were short, you're still short. You were white, you're still white. If you're black, you're still black. Your body didn't change. Your mind didn't change. So what does it mean that when you're in Christ, old things have passed away, all things have become new? It's talking about in the Spirit. In the Spirit, you are a completely brand new person. One translation of 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new species of being that never existed before. In the Spirit, you are totally different, and we have capabilities in our spirit that go far beyond this physical realm. People who sit there and say, I just can't believe until I see it. You're just carnal. You're just limiting yourself to what you can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. You're acting like you're nothing but just an evolved animal. But I'm telling you, people are different. We've got the Spirit of God Almighty, and especially when you're born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit, you are power-packed. Everything that Barry was talking about this morning that was in that box, the Ark of the Covenant, is in you. The very presence and glory of God resides on the inside of you. It's in the spirit realm. And you have capabilities in the spirit that most people don't even believe exist, much less that they could walk in. But you can know things by the Spirit. Man, I could get plumb off here and go to giving you a lot of examples of what I'm talking about. I'm wanting to get back to this story. But the reason that they couldn't see him is because they were just trying to figure it out with their brain. They were using their five senses. They weren't letting their spirit man function. Plus, they weren't born again the same as you and I were. They weren't completely new. They didn't have this new birth yet, and so it was a little bit different for them. But for us, there are many Christians today that still don't perceive God with them because they're just trying to discern him in some physical, natural way. But he has to be spiritually discerned. And like I was talking this morning, you need to write on your heart these truths. You need to try and grab hold of what I'm saying and say, Father, thank you that whether I can perceive it with any of my senses, whether there is any physical evidence or not, your word is proof. And I just write on my heart that you will never leave me nor forsake me, that you are here in all of your glory. You have to write on your heart that, man, I am full of God. The fullness of the Godhead dwells in me bodily, Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. I'm complete in him. As Jesus is, so am I in this world, 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, that I am created in righteousness and true holiness. Many people just go look in the mirror and they say that can't be true because you look at yourself and you see scars from your ungodliness. You see all kinds of things. In your mind and in your emotions, you have scars of all of your problems and things that have happened. And most people only function in the carnal, physical, natural realm, and they just say, can't see it. But in the spirit, you are identical to Jesus. You have his life, his power. All of that's in you. God is with you constantly. And you have to write these things on your heart by speaking it out your mouth and believing it. So these disciples could not recognize Jesus because they were reasoning. They were in the natural. They were functioning from their mind instead of from their heart. And that's the reason they couldn't perceive him. Spiritual things, spiritual beings have to be discerned spiritually, not carnally, not physically. And so it says in verse 17, and he said, this is Jesus, said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? Now think about what they were talking about. They were talking about Jesus. They were talking about Jesus being resurrected from the dead. They were talking about the women who had said, we've been to the tomb. We saw a vision of angels. And Jesus is resurrected from the dead. They were talking about all of the right things, but they were talking about it in doubt and unbelief with the limitation of their physical minds. And boy, this is a great truth. For us to dwell in the presence of God, you've got to talk about that in faith and not in doubt and fear and all of these other things. One of the points I'm going to make later this week is that you've got to have the right impression of God. There are some people that constantly keep their mind stayed on God, but they believe God is angry at them, and they bear that bitterness and hurt and shame and condemnation. If you're doing that, it's actually detrimental to have your mind stayed on God if you think that that's the way that God is, because you're just constantly living in condemnation. These people had their mind on God. They were talking about the things of God, but they were talking about it in unbelief. You got to do this in faith or it doesn't do you any good. We got a lot of religious people today who do keep their mind stayed on God, but it's all unbelief, the things that they're saying. They're thinking the wrong things. So he says, what is this communication you're having and you're sad? These men were sad. And one of them said, this is amazing to me. One of them said, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and knowest not the things which are come to pass in these days? And Jesus said, what things? You know, the Lord will let you talk. If you want to get in, just gripe and complain and spew out all of your problems and stuff, he'll let you talk. But it's amazing how we think that God just doesn't know what's going on. Nobody knew what had happened to Jesus as well as Jesus knew what had happened to him. And they're saying, man, you just don't know. We do the same thing. We go before the Lord, oh God, the doctor said, and you feel like you've got to tell God every glory detail and let him know just how bad your situation is. God, did you hear what this person said about me? God, do you understand how critical my financial need is? Over in Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus was teaching on prayer, he says that it's not to tell God what's going on, because your Father in heaven knows what you have need of before you ask. Prayer is not an opportunity to inform poor misinformed God of your situation. And yet we do this all of the time. This is amazing to me how they are saying, what's wrong with you? Don't you know what has happened? Man, Jesus knew. He not only knew what had happened in the natural, he knew what happened after he died. He knew what had gone on for the last 3 days.